Episode 3, Let's Talk About Post-Colonial Thinking.
Welcome to The Last Stop. I am Liliana Daval, Transitional Pastor at Urban Grace, the downtown church. Urban Grace is an ecumenical church in downtown Tacoma, Washington, that believes in the value of each human being and how the unique contribution of people who are different may enrich us all. Today, we are talking about post-colonial thinking. The strength of the post-colonial perspective is that it challenges existing assumptions and power structures. It counterbalances primarily white perspectives that were dominant in writing history about others. Postcolonialism seeks to intervene and amplify marginalized viewpoints. It tries to change the way people think and act to produce better relations between different peoples and cultures. Postcolonialism is not the chronological sequel to colonial dominance, but rather the understanding of the political, cultural, economic, and linguistic effect on former European colonies. A conversation about these topics was begun after the 1980s, and it also includes the church. Leela Gandhi, an Indian-born literary and cultural theorist, said that postcolonial theory recognizes that colonial discourses typically rationalize themselves through rigid opposition, such as maturity, immaturity, civilization, barbarism, developed, developing, progressive, primitive. Such contrasts seem to paint a world in black and white where the colonizer is right and the colonized is always wrong. Postcolonialism tries to decentralize Eurocentric norms and construct the identity of the native. It counters the notion that Western and European is superior to Eastern and Southern Hemisphere culture. The colonizing, then, is to reclaim one's own identity by eroding the colonialist ideology that devaluated us. Postcolonial thought aims at disempowering the assumption that colonizers know the culture of colonized people and can use that implied knowledge to subjugate them. It is an engagement with and contestation of colonialism's discourses, power structures, and social hierarchies. We have received a colonial interpretation of history, but colonial rulers are unreliable narrators. A post-colonial identity is not given by colonizers. The recurring topics when learning about post-colonialism are marginalization, identity, multiculturalism, migration, and hybridity. There are different types of marginalization. Societal marginalization is related to poverty. People are marginalized when they cannot attain the standard lifestyle in their communities. A clear case of marginalization is homelessness. Political marginalization is a way of discrimination, like, for example, not being able to vote, as many African Americans are illegally denied the opportunity to vote on election days. Economical marginalization is related to inequality. And spatial marginalization is defined by remoteness, when people are far removed from centers of community life. Marginalization is commonly due to gender, age, disability, race, and ethnicity. Identity is defined in part by the physical features by which we are recognized. Our identity formulates dignity, pride, and honor, and gives us a position in society. Identity may be personal, social, natural, national, religious, or cultural. What we call multiculturalism is a relationship between or among people of different cultures. Migration is the movement from one place to another to seek a better life. Migration may be permanent or temporary. Hybridity is the blend of cultures in one individual. The post-colonial era is characterized by diversity and difference, dispersions and diasporas, space for multiple cultures, space of in-between, space that is intercultural, interreligious, inter-ethnic, interracial, and inter-epistemic, the latter meaning that we learn from each other. At Urban Grace, our goal is to decolonize the church and the interpretation of scriptures, to examine existing interpretations of the Bible and construct new narratives. We must take into account issues of expansion, domination, and imperialism. Colonialist readings of the Bible tend to turn the colonized into instruments of social control. For example, during slavery times in the U.S., slave masters made sure their slaves became Christians and taught them that the Bible sanctioned slavery and they had to be good slaves if they wanted God to approve of them. European colonialism determined, shaped, and defined Western Christianity. The colonizing biblical interpretation requires culture-specific analysis of text and readers, eliminating Eurocentric leanings. We must uncover comparable experiences in the Bible to validate the current uprootedness of BIPOC people. A study of Jacob coming to Egypt, for example, is a good exercise to understand the plight of new immigrants and the relationship with already established immigrants, like second or third generation. Jacob went to Egypt because there was a famine in all the surrounding areas, but Egypt was a wealthy nation. Jacob and his children were poor, their possessions were meager, and they didn't speak the language. But they met with Joseph, who not only had been in Egypt long enough to have understanding of their culture, language, and customs, but had also climbed the social ladder and had an important government job. Joseph took Jacob to meet with Pharaoh, and he was given a house for him and his family. The typical take on this story focuses on the family drama and how meaningful that is to explain Jesus' genealogy. Yet, this reading about the migration story is key to interpret the reality of migration today. People in the diaspora need to create new memories of the past and the present. Colonization takes the form of physical subjugation, but also that of ideological control. To destroy the conquered's inner world vision, the colonizer introduces Western ideologies. Decolonizing is a way to overcome the dominant Western way to see life and the world. Postcolonial thought can be found in history, theology, and the church. History is always an interpretation and representation of what happened through which Power is expressed, reflected, and exercised. In theology, there's always reluctance from the Western world to analyze the theological implications of colonial imperialism. And then there is post-colonial thought as applied to the church. In this area, we learn several things. Foreign missions are always suspect, as the world missionary movement was used to spread the ideas of the West. Whether in Latin America, Asia, or Africa, Eurocentric preaching of the gospel included biased interpretation of scriptures and the Bible used as a tool of control and ultimately oppression. The Church Universal has attempted to keep people from realizing their full potential by focusing only on the spiritual side of things. As a pastor, I understand the importance of spirituality, but over-spiritualizing everything is a form of keeping people blind to their problems and away from their liberation. The most acceptable form of doing mission work involves considering the culture of the people with whom we work and their worldview. Creating mutuality and learning from one another is a way to respect people and bless their lives. We must let go of our position of power and domination. For a few years now, we have heard conversations about the emergent church. The emergent church is a sign of hope when we talk about decolonizing. These are churches who apply postmodern thinking. They offer a positive response to the cultural changes of our time. They hold the key to making the church relevant in a postmodern culture. While it could lead to self-complacency in the monocultural Euro-American church, it is a source of hope for those churches who are invested in multicultural ministry. Emergent churches are also called missional churches because they are incarnational. They are centered on God's agenda for the world. These churches are not self-serving. The church is not the origin of missional work, but the result of God's mission. This is how Urban Grace does mission work. It is not all across the world in a remote place we don't know, but rather in our own neighborhood. Feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, and embracing our community. The work of decolonization of the church includes a key element that is the sacred. The sacred is viewed as myth or superstition by the Euro-American world. In our culture, we consider popular religiosity as a distorted form of spirituality, when in reality, indigenous peoples of the world feel closer to their maker by sacred practices, such as rituals and symbolisms. Secularization is a Eurocentric notion. We have created our own version of the sacred that is very rational and aseptic. In the US, churches are on the decline and have been for years. Younger generations don't see the point of religion. And church buildings open their doors on Sundays to host just a handful of people who relate better to their traditions, buildings, and structures than to God. But the sacred is emerging as part of the post-colonial identity, like with the reassertion of indigenous people. The recovery of the sacred is then a form of resistance. Another tool to decolonize the church is the use of art in its various forms. This helps us to shift focus from the type of experience we have in the church to the quality of that experience. Like in art, it is not important the medium we use, but how the piece created touches our hearts. Postcolonial thought emerges in the diaspora. Diasporas are the communities who have been dispersed from their homelands. The largest in the world is the Indian diaspora. Puerto Rican's diaspora in the U.S. is larger than the population still living in the island. African and Irish diasporas spread around the world. Diasporas are rooted, localized, integrated, and self-contained communities living settled lives. The post-colonial meaning of diaspora is being at home in many places and among many peoples. They challenge the territoriality of national cultures. The identities of people in the diaspora are formed based on diversity and difference. I live in the diaspora, and so does Mandla, a member of our congregation. I'm from Argentina, and he is from South Africa. Normally, these two national identities have very little in common. But when we speak in the diaspora, we understand each other. Recently, we were sharing about the way we did church back at home, and we had more in common than we had ever realized. I have the same feeling when I share with all whom you've heard in the second episode of this podcast. The Latinx religious experience can help us in three important ways. First, through having a better appreciation of the social and communal nature of faith. There are social dimensions of faith that emerge when we work for and with the poor. Individual faith depends on the communities that sustain it. Second, the Mujeristas' way of thinking rationally is an alternative to patriarchal approaches to human subjectivity, which perpetuate gender hierarchies and a false sense of individualism. And third, Latinx religiosity contributes theological aesthetics, popular ritual, and the concept of divine beauty. The way to move forward with decolonization is to dismantle the assumption of the modern Western Church that all Christians should think and behave in a certain uniformed way. This means to abandon our white supremacy way of thinking. Not white supremacy as associated to right-wing extreme groups of pressure, but as the belief that white people constitute a superior race and should therefore dominate society, typically to the exclusion or detriment of other racial and ethnic groups. If you are white, you need to let go of the thought that your way is better, loftier, and more excellent. Postcolonial thought is to accept that as we live in postmodern times, the church has to move out of its fossil-like structures and make room for those who bring new worldviews about life and religion and accept them as equals. Whether you are black, white, Latinx, trans, gay, non-binary, straight, or any other name you give yourself, I am here to tell you two important truths. First, you are who you are because God made you that way. Be yourself and enjoy it. Carry your identity with dignity. Assess your ways to connect, relate, and love and not love, and follow the loftier path of community. That will make you happy. Second, there is a place in downtown Tacoma where you can find acceptance and embrace, not because who you are is a problem that needs fixing, but because you've been bruised enough. At Urban Grace, you can find a spiritual home and a path to healing by belonging, by simply being who you are. If you are close to Tacoma, Washington, come and check us out. We can be your last stop as a spiritual seeker.